This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It is President's Day, the 17th of February, 2025. No markets today, but on the podcast, plenty of hat news, a market recap from Friday, and hat chief meteorologist Ryan Martin with his bitter cold weather forecast, but not much in the way of precipitation. Good morning, I'm Andy Eubank, the hat podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news today, including the arrival of National FFA Week and how an Indiana cooperative is helping FFA members get right to work after high school if that's their path. And we'll hear from President Ronald Reagan on President's Day. Also, Brian Basting market analysis on the Hat Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Keystone Cooperative's equipment auction continues this February on Purple Wave. Bid on a 2015 John Deere R4038 applicator, fertilizer delivery trucks, and more farm-ready machinery. With no reserve online auctions, top quality equipment from Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan is just a click away. Visit purplewave.com today, your trusted farm auction solution. Purple Wave, where smart farmers find the perfect fit.
Celebrating National FFA Week, I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by Keystone Cooperative, proud supporter of the FFA and the many opportunities it provides the next generation of agricultural leaders. This week, we celebrate National FFA Week. While we shine the spotlight on it this week, FFA members are experiencing personal and professional development all year long. Keystone Cooperative is a proud supporter of FFA, and they've created a program specifically for graduating FFA members who want to get right into the workforce. Sarah Morehouse with Keystone explains their SEED program, which stands for Securing Experience and Employee Development.
The whole entire goal of the SEED program is to hire students right out of high school that are not interested in post-secondary education, but have a passion for agriculture. And so they come into our program with Keystone, they are in rotations, they go through all of our divisions, and at the end of it, then we sit down and figure out how we can keep them for the rest of their career.
Eliza Ulitz is a current Keystone SEED professional going through the different rotations, which includes their grain, energy, agronomy, swine and animal nutrition, and corporate office divisions. In speaking with new SEED applicants this week, Ulitzny told them how truly unique this opportunity is.
There's nothing like this out there. It's one of a kind experience and really sets people up to succeed. I mean, there's no way that you can get in this program and fail. That is not what they want us to do at all. So there is nothing that you can do to not succeed when you're in this program. So I would highly encourage anyone to join it.
Morehouse explains why they recruit FFA members for the SEED program.
Not only is it about your experience in agriculture, but FFA teaches those lifelong skills that we're looking for our SEED professionals. Passion, work ethic, communications. And so, like, Eliza is doing a great job, obviously. And so FFA instills those things into these different applicants, and we're just really excited to be a part of it.
Applications for this year are currently closed, but keep an eye out for those to open again soon. Hear more from Eliza about how FFA prepared her for the SEED program in the Full Hat interview at HoosierAgToday.com. Since it's National FFA Week and today is President's Day, we thought we'd take a look back at Ronald Reagan's connection to the ag community, and CJ Miller chats with a Hoosier who got the chance to meet Reagan twice more than 40 years ago because of FFA.
I know things have been rough and still are for many farmers, but I hope when you go back to your homes, you'll tell your families and your friends that America's farmers are not going to be left out of the good times that lie ahead.
That was President Reagan in July 1983, delivering those remarks in the White House Rose Garden to the National FFA. Standing just within feet of the president during that speech was Bruce Kettler. At the time, Kettler was serving as National FFA Eastern Region Vice President from Ohio, and he got the chance to meet President Reagan at the White House, not once, but twice.
It was really neat. We met him in December after we were elected in November, met him in the Oval Office. And I just remember at the time the gentle nature of him as a person. He was very interested in learning and understanding and knowing more about FFA and what we were interested in accomplishing in our year as national officers. And then in July of the following year, July of 1983, during State President's Conference, we met with him in the Rose Garden. And we had an opportunity to be able to learn from him there.
Kettler is now president and CEO of the Agribusiness Council of Indiana. When Reagan first became president, more American farmers were losing their farms than at any time since the Great Depression of the 1930s.
And keep in mind, for farming in particular, at that time, the early to mid-80s, were a very, very difficult time. I mean, there were a lot of people, young people, that grew up on farms that I think would certainly want to have gone back to the farm, but knew that with the high prices, high inflation, and things that were going on in the early into the mid-80s, that wasn't going to be a reality for them.
Reagan established a number of economic policies that supported America's ag industry, including the need for sustained credit and cash flow to farmers, as well as pushing for increased exports for America's ag products. Kettler adds that Reagan not only supported the American farmer, but future farmers as well.
What I've always appreciated about him as a president was he understood the importance of two things, food and agriculture and youth. And he really appreciated what FFA could do to develop the youth that would then go serve in food and agriculture and, of course, other areas as well. But he knew that, and he had a good appreciation for it, which he was able to share with us.
During that speech that Kettler witnessed back in 1983, President Reagan gave this parting message to the FFA and America's farmers.
Remember that back at the time the ideals of our nation emerged, it was composed overwhelmingly of men and women who made their living from the land. Today, we rely on you to maintain our ties to the land and to live up to our ideals, and I know you won't let us down.
Read more about President Reagan's impact on the ag industry at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Explore the trade show for organic farming products and services. Network with fellow organic farmers and get your certification questions answered. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A very cold week unfolding in front of us here. Temperatures well below normal. And we're going to come close to some of those bitter cold temperatures that we saw back in January. In a few areas, we might even exceed those. But I don't think we're going to exceed them by very much, if at all. And here's the reason why. Our normal temperatures by the time we get to mid and late February are significantly higher than where we should be back in January. And on top of that, we're seeing about 50 to 75 additional minutes of sunlight, and that is helping our temperatures than what we see back in January. So while it's cold, I don't think it's going to be quite the coldest that we've seen this season. Here's what we've got going on. For your Monday, partly sunny skies. High pressure is analyzed in over the top of us. It's a Canadian or Arctic high pressure mass, so it's cold, but sunshine is going to help. We see a few more clouds trying to come together tomorrow afternoon. And those clouds will be coming eastward ahead of a weather system that's going to be putting down some decent snow in the central plains. I think we can see anywhere from 2 to maybe 8 inches of snow across Kansas, southern Nebraska, northern parts of Oklahoma. That mess moves across the Missouri Valley overnight Tuesday night and into the Ohio Valley for Wednesday. Largely, I expect precipitation to stay south of the Ohio River, Kentucky, Tennessee, and then down into the deep south. But I think I-70 southward, we have to look for clouds in here through Wednesday and probably some light snow that gives us anywhere from a coating to 2 or 3 inches in the far southern tier counties of Indiana. The rest of the state, just clouds and even some sunshine up north. Lake effect can pop up on Thursday as we see a reinforcing shot of Arctic air trying to come down. And then temperatures are going to be quite nice on Friday, at least considering what we will have been through that week up to that point. I think we're going to be seeing temperatures bump a little bit on Friday with full sunshine. Saturday turns out partly to mostly sunny as well as high pressure is here, but we're starting to see south flow, and Sunday temperatures moderate more. Going into the following week, the 24th forward, we see temperatures back to normal and above normal levels. Nice warming coming through. I don't see a lot of precipitation with the warm air initially. Maybe we have to watch a system come through the Great Lakes for Monday night into Tuesday of next week. But I don't think it's a big deal. Where I'm watching is a bigger threat of moisture late in the week and going into the weekend. So the 28th, the 1st, and the 2nd, there's where we could see some rain and maybe a little bit of wet snow, but I think mostly cold rain, anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch combined for the weekend of the 1st and 2nd. Going into the 3rd, then, we should be a little bit cooler but drier for a large part of that week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains in the grains and oil seeds to wrap up the week. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. I'll have all the final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with commentary from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. I spoke with him in the middle of the Friday session. Wheat was the leader on some demand hope, maybe, in the marketplace, but buying for all three, corn, beans, and wheat. And Brian, it was a solid day. A number of factors at play. Detail those for us.
Well, thanks for having me, Andy. We're in the middle of February here, and in the old days as such, it would be a quiet time in the markets, but not so in 2025. There's just a lot of moving pieces here as we get ready to enter the second half of the month. We're looking at, of course, a very strong weather market taking place in South America. We're looking at corn that's pollinating, as you and I speak here, in Argentina. USDA did lower Argentina's corn production by 1 million tons this week. We're looking at uncertain short-term forecasts. Some forecasts are getting cooler and wetter. Others are saying that we're going to have more of a return to hot weather, moving into that last week in February. So it's not a done deal either way with the crop size. It may not be the catastrophic event that they had 2 years ago where we really saw a short crop of both corn and beans, but it certainly doesn't feel like it was 60 days ago in terms of potential there. We've also got uncertainty regarding the Black Sea region. Obviously a lot going on there now. Uncertainty about Russia, as you and I speak, Andy, in terms of their crop size for 25. We don't want to make or break a crop in the middle of February, but until we get indications that that crop is on stronger ground, Russia may take a more conservative approach to the export market here for the next few months. And so that may spin a little bit more business to the U.S. I would caution your listeners that we still got a large harvest that was made in Australia and Argentina relative to a year ago. So those bushels will continue to compete with U.S. bushels. And we've also got a strong export market for corn. Another strong export report released on Thursday, nearly 65 million bushels of wheat, I beg your pardon, of corn were reported being sold. And so we've got a few more daily announcements this week. Really continues to say that for the short term, the U.S. is primarily the only shop in town with regards to corn. So at the other end of the spectrum, we've got a record soybean crop being harvested in Brazil. So a lot of moving pieces. I think it's going to be a volatile market, and we haven't even begun to turn a wheel for 2025 here, at least in the Midwest, for our crops. Way down in Texas, they've already started with their 2025 field work, but we're weeks away from that, so it could be a very interesting year in 25, Andy.
We have learned here this week a little more about the new administration's, we'll call it, reciprocal tariff plan. Is there any validity to the argument that the trade feels a little more comfortable about what that might look like or how that might materialize, therefore infusing a little bit of optimism in the markets on a Friday?
I'm not sure I'd use the word comfortable, but I'd use the word prepared for the uncertainty associated with that. Maybe is a better way to say it, because I think this potential terror situation even feels a lot different than it did 6-7 years ago when we had that issue. Obviously, the biggest issue then was directly with China, but it was with other countries too. But this is even more widespread. So all I can tell you is it's another ingredient, Andy, in the uncertainty recipe, is the way I would say it. And here's what I'd share with your listeners. I think it's important. Anytime you get into this amount of uncertainty, Andy, it's going to be a volatility in the market, and volatility in markets can be viewed with fear because you just don't know when you wake up what direction the market's going to go, or can be viewed with opportunity. And I would strongly advise that your listeners view this volatility that we're seeing as opportunity, and to design a flexible marketing strategy to take advantage of it. But short answer to your question on the tariffs is, I think we're into a bit of a new uncharted waters, different waters even that we experienced 6-7 years ago. Comfort level, just say, again, I would say from the standpoint of expecting this to be the norm rather than the exception here as we start the new administration.
Market commentary from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. Now the settlements from Friday trade. March corn up 2¾, 496¼. May contract goes to 508¾, also up 2¾. July up 2¼, 511¼. 6 cents higher on the March beans, 1036. May contract 1052. 2¾ up $0.05¾. July up $0.25 at 1068¼. And again, leading the way all day, wheat. March wheat, $6 even at the close, 22¼ higher. May, 613½, up 21½¢. The meats were mostly lower. April live cattle, 194.25, down 227, and a half dollar down on the April lean hogs, 92.60. Again, no markets on Monday, closed for President's Day. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.